Once upon a time, in an age of forests and firelights, our ancestors were wise to the spectrum of human identity. Among the fairy tales and myths they told were stories of glass coffins and marble statues, eunuchs and androgynes, chaste marriages and bodily transformations, symbolic stories that hint at other identities, tales of asexuality. This is the Asexual Fairy Tales Podcast, and I'm your storyteller, Elizabeth Hopkinson. Each month, I'll be reading you another story from my books of asexual fairy tales. Some of these are old tales of myth and legend, in which I first found representation for my asexual identity. Others are original stories by me, based on traditional motifs. It's a personal selection, but I hope you find something in it that speaks to you too. So, sit back, if you are able, relax, and enjoy another asexual fairy tale. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Asexual Fairy Tales. I thought that for the season of Easter, this saint's legend would be appropriate, and it appears in the 1815 edition of Grimm's Fairy Tales. It's probably good to point out at this point that I'm actually going to be crowdfunding in the next couple of months a whole book of retold saints' legends called Legends from Lindisfarne, Diverse and Inclusive Saints. And if you want to keep up with that, my Ko-fi page is probably the best place to go to find out more. St. Wilgefortis is known by many names in different lands, including Uncumber, Cumernis, Liberata and Dignifortis. And veneration of her spread in the 15th and 16th centuries. People used to pray to her for an anxiety-free death. She does seem to be a wholly fictitious saint, and some scholars believe that her legends arose from misinterpretation of early medieval portraits of Christ on the cross, in which he's wearing long robes, and it was thought that worshippers may have mistaken those for women's clothes and thought that they were looking at a bearded woman. However, there is something about Wilgefortis' story that transcends reality, so-called. And although she was removed from the official Vatican calendar in 1969, she has been taken up by the queer community as a patron saint of many identities, including intersex, transgender, and of course, asexual. Long, long ago, so the story goes, there lived a princess named Wilgefortis, daughter to the King of Portugal. And as with so many royal daughters, her father arranged for her a marriage. She was to wed the King of Sicily and so become a peace weaver. It was a noble calling, and one to which Wilgefortis had been brought up. But everything in her was repelled by the idea of being the king's wife. She did not know the man. Moreover, he was a pagan like her father, while she secretly followed the Christian religion. And most of all, the idea of sharing the king's bed filled her with a nameless horror. "You will grow used to it," her mother said. "I'll teach you what to do. You'll enjoy it," said her waiting woman. But it was all in vain. The more they tried to help her, the more miserable Wilgefortis became. Worse still, it seemed the Sicilian king was enamoured with her. He sent her poetry, which the scholars of her father's court blushed to translate, all about coming into the fragrant garden and lying under the date-laden palms. All Wilgefortis could see of her future was an eternity of torture, night after endless night. In desperation, Wilgefortis prayed for a way out. "Anything, Lord, anything at all, just stop the wedding." When she woke next day, a most miraculous thing had happened. The undermaid noticed it first. She parted the silk curtains around Wilgefortis' bed and screamed. Soon, all the ladies-in-waiting came running. When Wilgefortis demanded to know what was wrong, they produced a bronze mirror. There, in her reflection, was the answer to her prayer. she had grown a beard. Not just a scanty bit of stubble either, a full beard, covering her chest as bushy as you like. Wilga Fortis regarded the bearded lady in the mirror with calm satisfaction. Within the castle of the soul there is a gallery of selves, so the scholars say. It seemed to Wilga Fortis that an alternative self had taken up residence in her face, giving her former self leave to retreat. All in all, she was pleased with what she saw. Not so the waiting women. They tried everything to get rid of that beard. They snipped and they shaved. They applied creams and ointments. And when that failed, they tried holy water, charms, incantations, prayers. Nothing worked. The moment it was cut, the beard grew back as bushy as before. Needless to say, the King of Sicily was horrified by this new development and took back his betrothal vows. Wilga Fortis' prayer had been answered. The king and father could scarcely contain his disgust at the sight of a bearded daughter. "Begone from me, you are an abomination," he said. "I am the same person I always was," Wilga Fortis replied. "But if you wish me gone from your sight, I would gladly become a Christian nun. That life would suit me, I think." This put the king into an even greater rage. "Not only an abomination, but a Christian? A betrayer of your people's faith? This will end badly for you." Tragic to relate, things did end badly for Wilga Fortis. Her father was so enraged that he had her crucified and she became a martyr of the church. But her story does not end there. After her death, many people came to pray before her image. The tale goes that a fiddler, poor and destitute, knelt before her statue playing his fiddle. In compassion, the saint gave him one of her golden boots. But when the elders of the town saw a beggar in possession of such a treasure, they arrested him for a thief. In vain he protested that Saint Wilga Fortis had gifted it to him. The magistrates insisted he must hang. "Have you any last requests?" they asked the fiddler. "Yes," said he. "I would like to play my fiddle before St. Wilga Fortis one last time, for she alone in this world was kind to me. She understands what it is to be an outcast and falsely accused." The fiddler's request was granted. Once more he knelt before the statue and prayed. And there, in the sight of the clergy, the magistrates and all the elders of the town, St. Wilga Fortis kicked off her other boot in the fiddler's direction. Thus was his innocence proved. To this day, statues of St. Wilga Fortis have only one boot, while the fiddler kneels beside her, making his music. And Wilga Fortis is held in honour by all who know what it is to have a gallery of selves within their soul. Thank you for listening to Asexual Fairy Tales. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider subscribing to the podcast. If you really enjoyed it and want to buy me a coffee, you can do that at ko-fi.com/ElizabethHopkinson48513. Don't forget you can follow me on Twitter at @hidden_grove, or go to my website elizabethhopkinson.uk, where you'll find links to all my books. All the links are in the episode description. I really appreciate all your support. Stay safe and keep reading.